much, and thank all the respondents for their brevity and for concentrating us on the issues that we're here to discuss. I'm now going to hand over to my co-presenter, who I think is going to facilitate the next phase of this event, who's going to oversee the discussion. We will run on, because we started late, we'll run on till about 1:15, so for about another half hour, and then we'll catch up time, start again on time after lunch.
Okay, we have about 30 minutes for discussion. So I think that there will be many questions from before. Okay, please.
I would like to ask Professor Tu a question, which is, in your charts projecting the future of Shanghai over the next 30 years, would you address Dieter Leppler's concern? So do you have an idea of the chart for the future of Shanghai about the low-wage workers, what the goals are, and the projections for housing and employment for the low-wage workers for the different marks of Shanghai?
Shall I respond directly or wait for other questions?
Please be brief.
So, yes, we do. Actually, I will start with one kind of real case. Two or three years ago, at that time, the city government really concerned about unemployment rate, especially for the residents of Shanghai. Then how can they do that? The city police office, they hired, with overnight, hired tens of thousands called assistant to the policemen for traffic controlling. One night, the city government create tens of thousands jobs for those low-end people. This is wrong word. This is not political correct, definitely. But you know what I mean. So so far, all what the city government do is they think they can do. But how about something you cannot do or cannot, it is out of your control with, say, next 10 years or 20 years or 50 years? This is my argument. Say, we should leave space for the civil society and also important for the small medium-sized enterprises. Let them to do something. Let them to play the role for the job creation and for the society. So this is my argument.
I have a comment to Professor Tu, and maybe also a question to myself. So in Professor Tu's presentation, you mentioned that Shanghai should be a manufacturing center in the future. So I'm a bit doubt about that, whether Shanghai should be a manufacturing center or could be a manufacturing center. With the very, very much rapid increase of the housing, all the operational cost, I think the advantage for Shanghai to have a cheap labor already gone. So compared to many other interland areas, Shanghai has already no advantage to become a manufacturing center. So this is one question. I'm still doubt about whether Shanghai should be a manufacturing center or Shanghai should like New York or London to become focused on the finance center or trade center or logistical center rather than a manufacturing center. This is one question. The second is about the labor force. I think at the moment, Shanghai, the city is divided. If we would like to become a financial center or trade center, now the city and pay more and more attention to the these kind of jobs with the high income, with the requirement of the high education, high skills. But on the other hand, in Shanghai, we have the millions of the lower skilled laborers. So for these kind of the peoples, now they are still engaged in this kind of the basically at the community level, the service, the lower manual workers. So at this moment, we can see in Shanghai, we have the really divided labor force. On the one hand, it's kind of highly educated people. On the other hand, it's very low educated people. Now they work together. But at the moment, I think the government, the employment policy is basically focused on provide the subsistence job to these kind of lower educated people, but attract more people with a high education. So this maybe will have some kind of a profound impact in the future. The third observation is that now with this kind of, to cope with the increase the housing price, Shanghai government would like to establish this kind of lower cost housing in the China, in Shanghai's suburban areas. But this creates some other problems. In this kind of the concentration of the low cost housing, in this kind of area, there are no industry, no job opportunities there. But there is only a place, a compound place for the people with a lower income to live there. So in this kind of things, I think that actually we create some kind of the shitty town in the future. So I'm a bit concerned about these kind of things. We must combine this kind of industrial distribution with the housing distribution, and also with this kind of the combination of the social service distribution. All these kind of put together, then we can have a complicated and a comprehensive the planning for the future Shanghai's economic development. Thank you.
Dr. Tu, would you like to respond?
There are three questions. I try to be quick and be short. Basically, for the manufacturing sector, I'm sure, I mean, see what Shanghai did and what the joint venture of foreign capital they have invested in Shanghai in recent 2 years. Actually, majority of them is right in the manufacturing sector. So it is sure, it is for sure, Shanghai's manufacturing capacity for the next 3 years will be enormous. And definitely, this is what I pointed. There are six bases. They are really building it. It is not only the government, the public money. It is also international money. It's building it. So those kind of manufacturing capacity is definitely there.
Coming back to his point, what's the
in the
scale?
Surrounding area, suburb
in the surrounding
of Shanghai.
Area, so that's your
yeah.
point. Right.
So basically, this time it is also related to job. Is definitely related to the place. So this time, those kind of so-called advanced manufacturing bases is combined with the new satellite cities, what we call the one city, nine towns. So basically, the idea is you build the industry and also you build a city, build a satellite city, so people work there and they stay there. But the only concern is those kind of cities, satellite cities, is kind of just one function, like automobile city or shipbuilding city. Then, like my comments is, or my argument is, maybe we should build kind of mixed-use city. Otherwise, you were going down very soon. Like within 3 years, it's booming, but after that, how about that? Just like Professor Peng mentioned, say, with time passed by, the labor cost will be definitely, like we don't have competitiveness for long term or even for medium term. So how can we deal with that? This is the issue. And also
okay,
for the-
please be brief, okay?
Okay, so the two other questions, I think, definitely we are, at least for myself, I should say Shanghai should be prepared for kind of slum. So we should be prepared for that.
If there are so many people raising their hands, so maybe
Okay. We have talked a lot about the market, business, international capital. Personally, I would like to know more about the public sector, about public jobs. If someone could tell me the share of the public jobs versus the private sector, I would be interested. Secondly, I would like to know if the sources of such public jobs, if the source is local, regional, or national, if such jobs are public life jobs, or if there is some flexibility the city may have to answer jobs and create others, or if, in general, such jobs are transmitted from fathers to son or to daughters.
Any of the speakers who want to answer this question, that the public job.
But actually, I think Professor Zhou is definitely the right person to answer the question. I'm definitely sure.
Please, you go ahead.
Okay, then basically the public job, or say the government, is definitely, or government plus state-owned enterprises, they are the main job supplier in the city. And the number, I'm not sure, I'm definitely not sure, but only thing I can make sure is they are the main supplier. And sometimes we mention about the FDIs. Actually, the FDIs in Shanghai, and I definitely believe in other cities around China, they are not all the time, even though they are a huge amount of investment, but they are not the main supplier for the job. Because it is definitely capital intensive and technological intensive. It is not labor intensive.
Are they lifetime jobs?
No, lifetime jobs anymore. The SOEs, the government can lay off workers. Although, you know, usually they lay off only young workers, not the very senior workers. Yeah.
Yeah. These state jobs, well, state-owned enterprises from municipal government, what is the income structure? Do they contribute to this growing inequality in Shanghai that everybody is talking about, or do they actually bring that inequality down? Is that clear?
I think usually the laid-off workers, they are low-income people. So I believe, you know, the number of laid-offs contribute to the inequality rather than equality. Yeah. Maybe I have number, you know,
that's pretty clear.
I want to ask a question because we have only Richard, Anthony, and Dea.
Economic growth, and therefore staggering increases in real personal wealth. From Francis Duffy, we had an equally disturbing picture of a move from predominantly Taylorist offices to network offices, a change that is picking up in pace. We have existing world cities where most people live in relatively small apartments. We have world cities where most offices are Taylorist. A question for us to ponder before we get on to other questions is there going to be a growing mismatch between the supply of existing housing stock and the demand for that housing stock as people get richer and want better housing stock, and between the supply of Taylorist offices and the demand for much smaller network offices which need not be in world cities? Have these two presentations exposed a very real problem for the future of world cities, or have I misinterpreted these two most valuable contributions? Question, if not now, for later.
Let me respond by saying that certainly the first of these issues will be addressed very much tomorrow in the session on housing, but perhaps, Frank, you would like to connect these two points.
Richard?
Wanted to comment on or ask you a question about, Frank, about your very interesting contribution. My impression, though you don't say it, is that you think that Shanghai is trying to enter the network age largely by building Taylorite office buildings.
That's exactly what I think is the problem from my perspective.
You know, these Brits are so diplomatic, you know. Do you understand the issue that
he was
too polite to say?
Yeah.
He thinks that you are trying to enter the age of information, building the kinds of offices that belonged to a century ago.
At least, yes. And I think the progression from where we are to where we ought to be is something that needs working out. It cannot be left to the supply side, is the other part of my argument. Because that supply side, certainly in my experience in North America and my bit of Europe and my bit of Asia Pacific, is totally divorced from reality. And there's no feedback loop, no system which actually tells them that they're doing anything wrong except the square cost per square meter they can get, which in a market which is saturated with one kind of building is not a good indicator of what's going wrong. I want to say something else, actually, which is using my metaphor of the micropolitics of the office organization as they move towards new ways of working. That I've learned from a lot of experiences that these changes are, the supply of office space is not a passive factor. It's not just getting the right mix and then pouring people into it. The shaping of the city, the shaping of the office, is an opportunity to accelerate cultural, organizational, intellectual change in a certain direction, if that's what a city or an office organization wants to do. So the involvement of large numbers of people in the process is inevitable, and that process has to be managed and has to be led and has to be supported with excellent data, but above all is democratic.
Okay, let's take three questions from the floor, then we ask the three questions in 6 minutes so we can go to lunch. Okay, Diane, please.
I thought your presentation was extremely elegant, and I was very kind of taken by your transition to the networked office. But if the network office was really as powerful a change as you suggest, surely that would actually be also addressing the problems that Bruce Katz mentioned of the escalation of house prices. If location really did not matter in the office, then surely those masters of the universe who occupy them could also live anywhere, and so it would actually dissipate this house inflation thing, but it's not happening.
Okay, two more questions.
发言，因为明天我不一定有时间来，所以我把明天的问题提到今天。今天有几位发言者都讲了这个住宅那个分布的问题，下层越来越住到这个周边去，这是我最近的研究调查研究的一个中心问题，我很关心。但是我本来以为是这是上海这几年的突出问题，可是今天我听了以后。 意识到这是一些其他的全球化城市普遍面临的问题，像讲纽约，因为我们知道以前芝加哥他们这个郊区化主要是中产阶层到郊区，可是现在可能纽约也是那个穷人住到了边缘去。那么上海现在的情况就是非常突出，大量的市民就是被那个搬迁到了这个周边去，他们。 很难找到他们的工作，失去了工作，也没有完整的这个意义上的社区，他们的这个医疗、教育、上这个购物各方面文化活动都受到了很严重的影响。那么我现在非常关心，像这种问题，其他国家是怎么对应的？刚才当然我们这个上海的这个同志说，周边他们会造这个一城九镇，可是我们现在看到。 上海的所谓一城九镇，各个区他们这个包括这个各个镇，他们的规划里面也是跟中心城区一样，他们不希望穷人过来住，他们明确的说他们希望拉动房地产，希望这个富人这个有钱人住过来。 那么这还是一个问题。在我们现在调查到的这些，我们正在做调查，我们想看到就是看到那个，就现在暂时我们是这个公共设施是跟不上的，而且失业现象特别严重。我想问刚才有像纽约或者其他的大都市，他们怎么对应这个问题的？谢谢。
Okay, the last question.
Yes, I can answer you, because what you describe is the Parisian situation, where the middle classes live in the center of Paris, where the poor populations are sent further and further to the periphery. And a way to attenuate these situations of inequalities comes from the fact precisely that our public jobs are nationalized, which means that everybody is going to get the teachers they need, the police they need, the mailmen they need, because the decisions are made centrally, and consequently the distribution is national. It's not met according to the national will. Plus there is also some redistribution made, which is a way to buy social peace, actually, because people feel discontented to be so far away, but a way to buy social peace is to give them more allocations, more housing fees, and more education fees to raise their families.
So let's answer the three questions. Francis, would you like to respond to Diane's question?
I think a very difficult question to address, because it's usually addressed in terms of center versus periphery, or working all the time in one place or working all the time at home. And I think these dichotomies are far too coarse to pick up the reality of mobile, fluid working by highly motivated people in the situations that I'm familiar with. They operate, they use time and they use space in very, very intelligent and fluid ways. And therefore, one warning is to be careful of wrapping a concrete structure around an old-fashioned way of working. I'd like to take it a step further. I think the big problem, if you really want to know what I think, the big problem facing the 21st century and designers in the 21st century is not just designing the right apparatus, it's actually redesigning the conventions of the use of time as well as space. Because the timetable, conventional timetable we have inherited from the Industrial Revolution is no longer relevant to the emerging society. It may not be a problem here at the moment, but it will be, certainly for part of this city, and probably, if we look at these figures of growth and change, a large part of the city in 10 years' time. And we might as well be thinking about it now rather than waiting till it's too late.
Okay, Dieter, would you like to respond to Professor Chen's question about the poor living in the surrounding areas?
Well, I think Sophia already had mentioned it.
Okay.
I could argue from a completely different city system, from the German city system, which is much more flexible. For we have a polycentrical, we have a network metropolis, we could say, with not one global city, but with a network of cities forming a global city. So this gives you much more chances to react flexible on this work-labor relation. But a key element to really make this is a question if you really have subsidized housing, and the question of social housing. And this is also the problem we have in Germany, that the state is going out of social housing and reinforcing this mismatch of working and living. But actually, I would like to comment a little bit of retake my problems. I'm very impressed on this transformation of the economy. There's no doubt, and it's fascinating. It's impossible to be not fascinated by this development of the city. But I'm very concerned now just to make an exploration of the existing dynamics and make a vision of this new wonderful world of clusters and so on. I think we really have to be aware that a such dynamic economy needs a very, very elaborated institutional framework. And when I'm looking on the situation, well, I'm just looking from outside, and we just have studies, your studies, when I see that the formal labor relation is declined very, very strong, that less than half of the people are in formal wage relation. That means less of half the people have really full access to the social security schemes. And when I see the problems of the outplaced people and the reintegrate them, that means this qualification and skills gap, which evidently is existing. So I cannot imagine this picture of now going on, upsizing the manufacturing and the high-tech economy and creating knowledge-based creative economy without really bringing these problems on the agenda and asking who will be responsible. And it is evident that this problem cannot be solved alone in Shanghai. That's what Jerry Frock really pointed out very clear. But the question is how we articulate the problems, how we articulate the preconditions of a path of modernization, and also to be not fixed only on one idea of modernization. We don't know if this is the right path. We are confronted in the past with very strong shifts in modernization paths. And only those cities which have this gene pool of possibilities, this gene pool of varieties, have been able to bring responses. For we have one very, very strong problem we have to be aware of. There is a strong contradiction between effectiveness and sustainable development. Between effective, the more you adapt to the new imperatives of the global economy, the less you keep your adaptability. So in this sense, we need diversity, and we have to manage the diversity. And in my sense, that's a key question of the labor market, and it's a key question of the city in the total. But discussing this is a question of the diversity of built environment and how you get not only economies of scale, but economies of scope, and how you get this adaptability and keep up this adaptability, and especially with your social capital, and develop your social capital and your human capital. These are the crucial elements for the future.
Okay, sorry, due to the time constraint, I'm afraid that we have to, we have to stop here. Maybe Tony can make a 1 minute summary before we go into lunch.
I'll just say two minutes worth. We've looked in the last hour and a half at the issue of how a rapidly developing metropolis, one of the world's great cities, provides skilled labor, homes, and offices that are able to work for a city and its people, perhaps picking up distant signals from those cities such as New York and London that have been through or are experiencing similar kind of issues at the same time. I think this raises the question of how cities are used by people, and also, going back to what Gerald Frug said earlier on, how far planners, city governments, or failing that, or at the same time, markets, can facilitate effective and fitness for purpose cities that are fit for purpose. We've also touched on the relationship of a city to its region, and I'm sure for those of you who most of you here have, but it is worth looking at the excellent maps that have been produced and handed out, which do give to scale some very interesting clues to the disposition of this city and the satellite cities, and also the New York, New Jersey region and the greater southeast. And I think those are worth considering in the context, very much important to consider in the context of the rest of the 2 days. And finally, I think what we've done again in this last few minutes is to start to frame more of the questions for later today and for tomorrow about what the role of the market is, the role of government is, and crucially, what the role of this conference is. And with that, lunch, which I take it is one floor up where coffee was. Thank you very much. And thank my co-chair as well.